The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle's got his man and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his house and a Ric Flair.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. It is the best day of the week. It is Thursday, April the 11th. Ben McKee, Go Ball 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Center studio. We got some things to get to today, Ben McKee. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Happy April 11th edition of the Swain Event. April Fool's Day times two, right? When you've got two ones back to back in April, does that make it April Fool's Day times two?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we can say that. But we ain't trying to fool anybody. We don't have any fake news. We don't have any of that today. On April Fool's time two, I guess. This is that time of the year, Ben McKee. Basketball silly season, football silly season is coming. It's supposed to be the craziest transfer portal that we've seen coming up with football. Basketball, we're already seeing the movement take place. We're seeing it with Tennessee's basketball team. Toby Awaka hit the transfer portal earlier this week. There's been talk of tampering going on around college basketball. It happens. It happens. It's going to continue to happen. There's more and more money available to these student athletes. You look at the minutes for Toby Awaka at 13 minutes per game out of 40. Pretty sure he feels like he can get more somewhere else. Pretty sure he felt like he deserved more here.
Which makes zero sense to me because Tobe did not play because Tobe could not stand a foul trouble.
It's part of it. Yep. Yeah, that's part of it, for sure. I think there's parts of Tobe's game that the guys that were playing in front of him in the post did not possess. I feel like there's some guys that played in front of him, had some parts of their game that Tobe did not possess. And I feel like Tobe has improved so much from his freshman year to his sophomore year. I was encouraged and excited about the improvements he was going to make going into his junior year. If playing time is the main reason or money, which no reason to believe that those are not the two main things, I get it. I understand. There has been rumblings. There's been rumblings about Awaka not being the only player to explore the transfer portal outside of DJ Jefferson, Freddy De Leon, and Tobey Awaka. The names that are continuing to float are Jonas Adu and Jamal Mayshak. Ben, when you started to see conversations surrounding those two players' names when talking about the transfer portal, what came to mind? What was your reaction?
I'll leave it at, I would be surprised if Tennessee does not have more movement in terms of people exiting the program. That's what I will leave it at. I think it's a very important offseason for JP Estrella and Cade Phillips. That's what I will leave it at in regards to the rumors that you just discussed that are flying around, that I would be surprised if Tennessee basketball does not have more movement on the way out the door.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. Okay. I feel like that's pretty cut and dry.
I got you. So let's start with Jonas Adu. Jonas went from 5 points per game last year, 18 minutes per game last year, to 11.4 points per game this year, and 25 minutes per game this year. He was an all-conference defensive player, an all-conference player. A very good defender. Soft touch around the rim. Really great with his left hand. Can shoot the mid-range jump shot. There were matchups this year that did not favor him. There's opponents that had a particular body type that would give Jonas Adu trouble. That is what it is. Jonas is entering, you know, his last year. I think everybody wants to be appreciated. Everyone wants to be maybe needed. I was about to say love, but hey man, if you appreciate it, that's more valuable than being loved, honestly. But you want to be appreciated. And the way to show your appreciation in NIL era is with zeros. So it can't be playing time, because Jonas played a lot. He played a lot. Played more than Tobey. And then because of Tobey's game, you couldn't play both of those guys all season long. If Tobey had the ability to step out and shoot at the four position, I think he would have played more. The fact that Josiah Jordan-James came back, had the ability, only 2 inches shorter than Tobey, could handle, could play multiple positions defensively, could shoot, that made Tobey less valuable offensively, and you couldn't play those guys together in every matchup. There were some times you could. But Jonas played. Jonas played a lot. Now, personally, it will be tough for me to have the performance that Jonas had in the tournament and leave on that note. It will be tough for me. But when we're talking dollars and cents, because that could potentially be something here, then you got to do what you got to do. Like, outside of money. I could not leave with that showing in the NCAA tournament. I couldn't.
Well, that's where you stop and start. It's no secret. It has been said in many places, so I feel comfortable saying it here, that those players, the Jonas Adus of the world, Tobe Awaka, Jemai Meshack, they've been pulled in different directions long before the NCAA tournament started.
Okay.
Teams have been pursuing them, quite frankly, through back channels long before the tournament started.
Yeah, and I expect that. I'm not surprised, and this is why I mention how valuable appreciation is. Like, you can be loved, but in some cases, being appreciated is more valuable. It's better. And you have teams who are tampering with players, not just our team, but other teams. And the sale is, hey, we will appreciate you more. And this is how we will appreciate you more. You're going to play more minutes. You're going to make more money. We're going to appreciate you more. And it's kind of hard not to listen when you've already had a thought in your head. It might have been small, but you've already had that seed planted by yourself or maybe someone else that, hey, you should be playing more. You should be making more. So I understand. Now, with Jemai Meshack, here's where it's a little bit more difficult, Ben, because let me first preface my statements. Fuck, I gotta do that. Because you never know what Mrs. Board thread is gonna start up and what narrative people are gonna try to take this to. Let me go ahead and preface my statements by saying this. For the 1 millionth time, I'm a Rick Barnes fan. I love a basketball program. I'm a big fan of our culture. But when you're having tough conversations like this, you got to be fair. You got to point out different angles. And that's what we're going to do. So here we go. Jemai Meshack, last year, Ben McKee, when Zakai Ziegler got hurt, Jemai Meshack moved to the one, played some point guard, did a pretty good job at the end of the season. Looked like a potential backup point guard option for Tennessee this year. When Freddie DeLeon proved to not be the guy that Tennessee thought he would be with the backup point guard position, and no reason to believe that they had a lot of confidence in his ability to go in as a backup point guard because he only got 5 minutes per game. I was really surprised to not see Meshack playing more of that role. Now, Z was not coming out of the game, but he played 32 minutes a game. I thought we would see him more at that role. I knew it would be difficult for him to be at the shooting guard or three because of Don Connect, because of Ganey, because of Vescovi coming back. But I thought the backup point guard position could have been an option for Meshack. Ben, last year, Jemai Meshack averaged 17.8 minutes per game. If you would have told me this year that Meshack would average 18.1 minutes per game as a junior this year, I wouldn't have believed you. What about you, Ben?
No, I would not have believed you either. I think part of that is that Dalton Connect stole some minutes from Jemai Meshack as well. I thought we would have seen Jemai more at the point guard spot, like you mentioned, but he is more of a two or a three, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that Josiah coming back, which at the end of last season was not expected, Dalton coming back, or Dalton coming to Tennessee, you did not know that at the time. And even when you picked up Dalton's commitment, you didn't know that you were getting what you got. So I think that that primarily took Jamai minutes away from Jamai. And I do think that they think that Jamai can play point guard, but I think they view that as more of a Jamai can play point guard in a pinch rather than wanting to settle with him as a backup point guard. I think that they had more trust in Jordan Ganey as a potential backup point guard, guy who can facilitate the offense, than Jamai in that sense. And I think Jamai is very capable. He showed that in the NCAA tournament kind of out of nowhere. And had to prep for that pretty quickly too. So he produced as a backup point guard in a pinch on short preparation. So I do think that Jamai is capable of doing that, but they, for whatever reason, their basketball coaches, I'm not, they could give a better answer than me. They preferred to go with Ganey this year. And they allowed Ganey to kind of work in that spot more in practice this year than Jamai. Although Jamai did run things at times as well. It just wasn't as much as we maybe thought based off of what he did in last season's NCAA tournament. So it is surprising, but I do think there's some context there as to why his minutes weren't more than they should. You didn't know what you were getting in Dalton, and Josiah kind of comes back out of nowhere. And to me, those are the two guys that stole Jamai's minutes more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't look at Josiah because Josiah played the four mostly.
When they went to that two big lineup, which there for a stretch, they were playing somewhat often.
Yeah. I mean,
for a couple of weeks.
The Missouri game, but I don't look at Adu, Jonas. Like, we didn't see them a lot. Like, we saw them, but not a lot. So when you talk about players that stole Mayshak's minutes, Don Connect, Santiago, and Ganey are probably the three suspects more so than Josiah George-James because he played the four. Like, if we go hit KenPom up and we look at the most frequent lineup for Tennessee, it's going to have Josiah George-James at the four most of the time. We knew this scenario going into the season. When we saw the players coming back and then we saw the additions, we was like, man, there's only five spots on the court. Something is going to have to give. Like, we knew this, Ben, going into the season. We just didn't know how it played out. And when you're winning, it kind of gets buried, right? You're winning, you're having success, it kind of gets buried. But as Jonas Adu and Jamai Mayshak enter their senior year, it's time to make it about you. Team is more important than the individual. We is bigger than me. We know what Rick Barnes builds his program on. I-N-A-M. What's that, Ben?
It's not about me.
What they say? Not about me. But how long can you be unselfish? How long can you continue when you put in the same work to be like, oh, I'm good with not playing? Like, how long can you do that? This is your last year coming up. This is your last year coming up. So at some point, you got to make it about you. At some point, Ben.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying. Jamai had opportunities at times to prove that he can be more on the offensive end, and shots did not fall for him. I feel like during that stretch, especially later in the season when Santi was kind of really going through it, I felt like Jamai was getting some opportunities to prove himself that he can be more consistent on the offensive end, which I think he is very capable of. I said that on one of the recent shows that we did. Like, I feel like there is so much more in Jamai's tank offensively than he has proven to this point. And I feel like he could take a very similar jump that Josh Richardson did offensively, quite frankly. I don't think he's just a defensive guy. I don't view him as a college version, a Tennessee version of Tony Allen, where when he catches the basketball, he needs to swing, or go stand in the corner. And if the shot clock is down to 3 or 2 seconds, that's the only time you can shoot the ball. Other than that, cut towards the rim or go try and get an offensive rebound. Like, I don't view Jamai Meshack in that lens. And I feel like probably a lot of people do view him in that light. I feel like there's a lot of money for him to be made in that mid-range game and as a standstill shooter, either in the corner or on the elbow. I think he can very much be a PJ Tucker type, not that position, but in terms of being able to knock down shots from the perimeter at a consistent basis, I think he is more than capable of doing that than he has showed up until this point. And facilitating off of drives and getting to his mid-range shots, I think he has a nice mid-range shot. I think he can get to the rim with his physicality. So I think there's more in his offensive bag than he has shown. He's shown glimpses of it. There's no doubt about that. He has done that, but he hasn't necessarily done it consistently to this point, in my opinion. And I felt like there were some opportunities throughout conference play when Santi was struggling to maybe grab the bull by the horns and maybe steal some minutes from Santi when Rick was searching for things, and he didn't necessarily do that on the offensive end. There were minutes to be had there, in my opinion, that maybe weren't completely taken complete advantage of.
The question is, did Meshack do enough to prove that he deserved more minutes in the game by what he did in practice, or was he just not given an opportunity in the games, even though he did that? We got to take a break, because I'm about to set this up for when we come back, because I know we got to take a break. I said several times on this show and Josh and Swain, when Santi was going through a slump, I felt like it was time for Meshack to enter the starting lineup. We'll discuss more on the other side. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Be right back.
What's up, Swain Event family? It's great to be on board. This is Taylor Hawkins with Modern Woodmen Fraternal Financial, and I have one question for you. When was the last time you have slowed down and evaluated your financial situation? Just like the Vols, a great game plan leads to victory. Let us help you achieve your financial goals with a custom-made game plan. No matter what stage of life you're in, protecting your family and hard-earned money is important. So let one of our local and trusted financial professionals secure your future by visiting one of our 10 branch offices across Tennessee, or give us a call locally at 865-312-5638. And remember, go Vols!
Registered representative and investment advisor representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's college sports town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
The conversation doesn't stop when the show is over. Follow the Swain Event on Twitter and like the show on Facebook.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. Rocking his Memphis Grizzlies hoodie. That's not going to help Don Connect land with the Grizzlies, man. You can do that all you want to. It ain't going to help him. Or help your team.
I'll take him or Donovan Klingon, please.
Man. I want to see Connect with the Spurs. I think that would be fantastic. You know, Don's defense, yeah, you know, it'd be good to be with Wimby now, because Wimby's going to block everything. You might not have to have the best defense when you got a dude who's 7'6 in the paint. He's going to send it out of there. So I think the town of San Antonio would be perfect for Dalton. It's a basketball town. There's no distractions with football or anything else. Has a small town feel. And then you get a chance to play for another Hall of Famer and Greg Popovich. I like the Spurs as the best spot for Dalton. But wherever he goes, man, I'll be a fan, as long as it's not the Bulls. Benjamin McKee. I felt like there was a time when Mayshak, time for him to be in that starting lineup when Santi was going through his shooting woes. And it's not to say you just bench Santi and you just totally reduce his minutes to some crazy number, but I felt like it was time to try something different that might help Santi. I think Mayshak shooting 36% from three this year. Maybe he didn't shoot well enough in practice, but he shot 36% from three. Jordan Gainey shot 29% from three. Santiago shot 33% from three. And we know about that slump. So we're having this conversation because there's been talk about Jonas Adu, Jermaine Mayshak possibly entering the transfer portal. And we're talking it out, exploring the reasons why they may want to hit the portal and look at other opportunities. Ben,
I think.
Oh, go ahead.
I think. At the moment, I think Jamai has. It's a weird situation to be in because I think the biggest problem for Jamai was that he was in a loaded backcourt last season, right? Like I know Jamai's shooting percentage is better. 3-point shooting percentage is better. Both throughout the season and during conference play, he shot 36%, but he took 39 shots. Jordan Gainey took 134 threes on the season. Santi took 132. Now, on the surface, stats out of it, who do you think is a better pure shooter between Jamai or those other two?
I think Santi is the pure shooter, but
well, I know that, but like in Gainey too. Like I think Gainey is a better shooter as well. Now that did not translate to the game for both of those guys. But Jamai also took 39 threes last year. What would his shooting percentage be if he took 140, 150 like the other two guys did?
36%.
Would it still be 36%?
I don't know. I know Gaines took a whole lot. Where sometimes you were like, and I like me some Gainey. I really do. And I thought Gainey shot too much. Santi didn't shoot enough. And you can say the same thing for Mayshap. Maybe he didn't shoot it enough. I know no one's turned up and passed up more open shots than Santi. No one.
No.
On the squad.
No. And that was, you and I had a conversation late in the season about how we would like to see some of Santi's minutes go to Jamai. We had that conversation here on the show. I don't look at last season and think that anybody was really had this humongous disadvantage in terms of playing less minutes than they should have. Like I don't feel like something like that took place to where somebody was just completely misused or anything along those lines. I think you had a once in a generational player in Dalton Connect who essentially played Jamai's position and was going to take a majority of the shots. And I think like if you just went and sat down and watched them practice, like Santi and Gainey has a better shot than Jamai. I like Jamai's shot. I just before the break,
I agree.
Talked about
it's a better shot. But it's a better shot, Ben. But at what point? I'm asking this question. I'm giving the floor back to you. But at what point do you say, okay, his shot looks better? They've shot it better in the past, but right now they ain't shooting it better right now. So I gotta go with who's putting the ball in the basket now.
Yeah, that point is when we had that conversation at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we had that conversation, so I'm not disagreeing with that whatsoever. But it's like I sat and watched Jamai the day before the SEC tournament, or 2 days before the SEC tournament, that Wednesday practice before they played on Friday, maybe it was Thursday, knocked down every single shot in practice. I watched Jamai. He could not miss in practice the day before that Mississippi State game in Nashville. And then he gets in the game and he clinks it off the side of the backboard and looks like a shell of himself, like he had been the day prior. I'm really not trying to single out Jamai. We're having a conversation about Jamai. Everybody was off on that particular day.
I saw some top of the backboard shots and air balls from other players who are known as better shooters than Jamai.
Everybody was off that day. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Everybody was off that day. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's a fascinating conversation for Jamai. I do feel like he should have stolen some of Santi's minutes to end the season, the second half of the season. I don't necessarily feel that way with Gainey because I feel like Gainey came on really strong late in terms of somebody coming off of the bench. And within the role that he was playing, I thought he was playing it well. So, yes, Jamai should have taken some minutes from Santi. Again, we had that conversation, and we voiced that opinion on the show. But looking to next season in terms of whether he potentially stays or goes, I think it's a fascinating decision for him because you look at it on the cusp and you see Dalton's gone, you see Santi's gone, you see Josiah's gone. There's not a lot there. There's an opportunity for Jamai to slide in and have a major role on this team and prove that he can be more offensively and not just a defensive guy or somebody that is known for his defense. But on the other side of that, Tennessee now has five scholarships to play with. So you know that somebody's going to be coming in. Like, you run the risk if you decide to stay of another Dalton Connect. And I know, like, Tennessee's not going to get the SEC player of the year out of the portal. That's, again, for a second straight year. That's very unlikely. But like the Darlin Stone Dubar kid who's coming in from Hofstra this weekend, like he's a bucket.
6'8". Was it 19 points per game or 17 points per game?
Yeah, 18, 40% three-point shooter. Like, Tennessee's going to be adding guys like that through the portal. So like right now you see a golden opportunity to kind of have your season, like you were talking about, Swain, to where he can be a little more selfish. But on the other hand, you know that Tennessee is going to add through the portal, but you're not quite sure what those players are going to look like through the portal. So I think that's a really tough decision for Jamai to stay or go. With Tobey, and if Jonas does ultimately leave, to me, those were just financial decisions, point blank, period. I think Tobey Awaka had every opportunity to also steal some minutes and just did not take advantage of that because of, like you said, he's not as tall as maybe you would like for him to be. He's a little on the shorter side, and he just cannot stay out of foul trouble. I think Rick would have loved to have played Tobey more than he did, but he just couldn't because Tobey could not stay out of foul trouble. So I think those two decisions, if Jonas were to leave, I think those are strictly financial decisions. And as I alluded to earlier, those back channels have been working for those guys for long before the NCAA tournament started.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phones. 865-255-03. Good morning.
What up, fellas? It's Deezy.
What's up, Deezy?
Man, it's a tough morning.
Why?
I'm sad about the Tobey news,
man. Hold on, Deezy. This might be my next point. I'm glad you brought this up. And I'm going to give you your time. I feel like I need to lay this groundwork for us as fans. There's major adjustments in college athletics right now. And we know the coaches and administrators are scrambling and, you know, they're trying to adapt. They're not the only people trying to adapt. We are trying to adapt because what we're so used to doing, DZ, is we have this emotional connection to our players. We love them. We love their parents. I mean, you know, Mayshak's mom, we love her. We love Adu's mom. Like we connect, we latch on to our players. And that's what it's always been. And that's what makes Tennessee so special. But this NIL, it makes it hard because they're doing the same thing that we would do in business. And we have to basically emotionally break up with these players when they hit the portal. And we have to understand why they're hitting the portal, more playing time, more money. And when players like Awaka, who I'll speak for me, I feel like we discovered him. We were his biggest offer. We helped develop him. He gets most of the credit because he put the work in. And then, boom, here's some other school coming in, sweeping in, that's going to get him, and they're going to pay him probably more money. And I don't know if he's going to be better or not, but he have better opportunities, I'm sure, to play more. And, like, it hurts. But what we're going to have to do, DZ, is we're going to have to adjust our emotional connection to these players coming in, especially if they pick in this school because of NIL opportunities, because as quick as they pick Tennessee for NIL, they could leave Tennessee for NIL. All right, DZ, floor is yours.
Yeah. I mean, you basically echoed everything that I've been thinking the last 12 hours or so. I'm glad you brought up Mayshak's mom because it's
love her.
Saw a bunch of her love her.
Love her.
Saw a bunch of her tweets from last night, and it sounds like she was trying to defuse some things without, you know, dropping any tea leaves or whatever. Like I said, with Tobey, it's basically everything you said, man, that, you know, he didn't have, you know, many big offers, and, you know, kind of seems like we were the first big school to kind of, I won't say discover him, but give him a chance and, you know, develop him the last couple of years. And I felt like if anybody, I mean, no, you know, I don't want to disrespect Adu or any of the kids, because I know, you know, the work they put in, but I'd almost rather trade Tobey for Jonas, to be honest, if it was going to go down like this. But it's tough. It's exactly like you said, it's tough. I was bored last night, so I was watching like 2021 and 2022 football highlights, and just looking at some of the tape and looking at guys like Wesley Walker, who came here and, you know, gave his all for a couple of years, and then he dipped. Tyler Barron, you know, he dipped, and I'm, you know, something popped in my head. I'm like, let me go over to Louisville and just see how the guys are doing. And then something stopped me because I'm like, well, no, these dudes gave up on us. So it's kind of like you said, you know, we gain this, you know, we grow fond of these players and, you know, get real close and, you know, get close to their parents and stuff like that. And then they have to make business decisions. And unfortunately, it's just something we got to live with as fans. But it's very tough, man. It's very tough.
Man, what's tough, DZ, is like you doing everything that you're told to do. You're working your tail off. You ain't stupid. You look around and you see dudes who you feel like you better than, or you on the same level, and you find out how much they making. And you like,
right.
Yo, what's, like, imagine DZ if you found out somebody at your job who is not as productive as you was making $1,000 per month more than you. You gonna have a funky attitude, man, the next day at work.
Right.
Real funky. And so it ain't just one sport or one school. This is happening all around the country. But guys are like, hold on, man. Like, yo, I'm more valuable than this. And they may not be. That's the problem. They're told they're more valuable, but they may not be. And now they're looking for that value from a different place. I mean, that's what's going on. Go ahead, Ben. You look like you want to say something.
Well, I to your point, I think people would be very, very, very surprised to know what a redshirt freshman guard was making this past season that just entered the portal. Swain, wouldn't you think that redshirt freshman guard who couldn't even get the playbook down was
probably making more than
some of these guards that we're talking about should this guy or that guy receive more playing time? Meanwhile, this redshirt freshman sitting on the bench making a whole lot more than he should have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was robbing Tennessee, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another part of it as well. I don't know if teammates know exact numbers, but they probably have a good idea based off of what is being bought and worn and driven and the jewelry and things of that nature. I mean, it's not too hard to tell what somebody's working with. So that's an aspect of it too. And it's, you know, I do believe in not counting another person's money, but it can be hard to do at times when you're out here putting in the work and carrying yourself the right way and doing everything that you need to do. And somebody who isn't doing what they need to do, not even making an effort to learn the playbook or remember the playbook, is sitting on the bench, not contributing and making a whole lot more than you are. Right. I mean, it's hard not to feel a certain type of way.
It's hard to. And you ain't got to count somebody's money to feel when you get that information. It ain't like you digging for it. But man, dude, especially at this age, and DZ, you may know what I'm talking about here, man. You sometimes it's best to keep your mouth closed. Here's an example. It may be a lady that you have spent some time with. Okay. That ain't everybody's business. Keep that business to yourself. But guys like to brag and talk. And they like to do the same thing about their money. Keep your mouth closed. And what happens is, especially these young dudes, you get to talking. Oh, yeah, I did this. Yeah, man. This is what I made. And somebody else finds out. And you, like, you think you impressing them, but all you did was trigger them. Because they're like, you making that? Bro, you ain't done nothing. And then it becomes a thing. So dudes need to shut up. All right, you got your money. Keep your mouth closed. Like, I wasn't walking around. And, like, this wasn't announced. We see it announced different stations. But it wasn't Downs Station I work with, but like I signed an extension a couple months ago. But you ain't gonna see me out here telling folks what the details of it is. Why? And these players need to take that same approach. That's your business. You're not a professional yet. When you get to the league, it's all going to be on Google. It's all going to be on the internet. So, but I'm with you, DZ, man. You know, when Tobe hit that portal, it hurt. But what I've done is I've allowed myself to be like, all right, we're going to lose somebody. That gives us an opportunity to get somebody better. So let's go do that.
I think real quick, DZ, I think the loss of Tobe feels worse than it actually is, because Tobe is a natural fan favorite. Tobe, because of how hard he plays, that is a guy that you really, really want to root for.
Love him.
Whereas, like, on the flip side of that, Jonas is not the most physical guy in the world. So at times, maybe it can appear that he's not playing with the same effort that Tobe is. And so that's why, like, if Jonas were to leave, I don't feel like the reaction would be the same. Although Jonas was a much better player this season for Tennessee than Tobe was.
Correct.
Jonas produced a lot more than Tobe, but the reactions to if Jonas were to enter the portal compared to when Tobe entered the portal would be completely different because of the games that each had. Tobe is that natural fan favorite, that blue collar, bring your lunch pail to work type of guy that got in the face of the Kentucky player and has mixed it up at other points as well. Like, he's a natural fan favorite. And I think the production does not at all match maybe a little bit of the freak out that has taken place to him leaving, because Tobe didn't contribute a ton this past season, but the reaction would not suggest that. There's a real opportunity, quite frankly, for Tennessee to go out and upgrade.
Let me stop you. DZ, thanks for the phone call, brother.
All right, Tony.
I got to stop you, Ben, because I don't want people to take those words and take it to another place. I think you meant to say, when you said Tobe didn't contribute a lot, is that he could have done more, because Tennessee loses that game versus Missouri without Tobe. And there were times when Tobe came in, and you know, that was it, the Creighton game? Is it the Creighton game?
I don't know which game you're about to talk about.
There's games where, like, he came in when Jonas kind of faded away from the physicality. But Jonas came in and asserted himself. Maybe it was a Texas game.
It was the Texas game. Where so, like, Tobe set the tone physically. Yeah.
So, like, Tobe could have done more this season, I think, is probably the best way to say what you're saying, rather than he didn't contribute a lot.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just would have liked to see more than a handful of games.
I get you. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. 100% on that.
I had higher expectations for Tobe this past season than what his production in totality ended up being.
Yeah.
And mostly my point is, like, there are limitations with Tobe that I think we are willing to overlook at times because of how hard he plays and because of how fun he is to root for. The height issue is a real issue. I mean, that limits him to a certain extent, especially when he cannot stay out of foul trouble. I mean, you cannot lack height as a post player and then also be consistently in foul trouble. I mean, that is not a good mix at all. So there's a lot of rumblings about him going back home, which is Big East country, and
St. John's,
like, going back home in Big East country,
St. John's, Rick Pitino.
I mean, he's going to have the same issues, if not even more, in the Big East, if that is where he indeed ends up, if he does not learn to stay out of foul trouble. And so, like, if I was in charge of Tennessee's basketball roster and you said, Ben, do you want to keep Tobe Awaka, I would tell you yes. I'm not at all trying to say that this is not a loss at all. But you have to pay X amount of money, and it's quite a bit of money to keep Tobe. Like, I don't know that I would go that route. I'm having to fork out a ton of money to keep Tobe because of the height limitation and because of the foul troubles, like I think I would rather try and go out and get somebody else for that same amount of money.
I'm with you. And I would take a player that, and listen, there's been two freshmen in the last 2 years that would probably pay more than what we got in return.
Not probably.
I don't know why I said probably.
I don't know why you said probably.
I don't know why I did either. But
both of them robbed Tennessee.
So if you look at that scenario, you go, man, nah, we gonna use that bread. We gonna get up in this portal and get serious, because Rick Barnes, he don't have long, okay? And so that's why I checked myself. When I was hurt for like 5 minutes when Tobe hit that portal, I was like, okay, well, we can go get somebody better. Because we Tennessee. We were in the Elite Eight. We got a Hall of Fame coach. We just took a player that was second team all conference to SEC Player of the Year, Naismith Player of the Year finalist. We can attract the next Dalton Connect. We can attract other dudes. Like, I got to be more business minded. I got to be more transactional here.
I was about to make is that the quicker we understand as fans of college athletics that this is no longer college athletics and it is free agency. That's what it is. It is free agency on both sides. It is players making decisions about contracts the same way professionals do, and it is teams and schools making decisions the same way based off of financials that professional teams do. How often do we hear about professional teams each offseason, we're going to move on from this player to save X amount of money,
yeah,
or we're going to let this player walk and spend that money here where we think that we can get better as a team. I mean, that's what it is. It is truly free agency.
Yep.
That's what it is. And the quicker people truly soak that in and have that mindset during this time of year, whether it's after football season, whether it's after basketball season, baseball season, I think the easier it becomes to stomach. Do I hope that one day we go back to having some sort of rules in place to where it does feel like more of that college vibe? Yes, I hope we reach that point.
We won't.
But it's not right now. It is truly free agency, both from a player perspective and a team perspective. They are operating like professional organizations at any sport.
All right, let's get back to the phones. 865-255-03. Good morning.
Hey, fellas, it's Rusty.
What's up, Rusty?
Want to talk about the basketball stuff.
Let's do
the
it.
Guys leaving, the guys staying. But wanted to real quick, because Ben hit on it.
Ben does it a lot.
The portal is the bigger problem than the NIL situation.
Correct.
And the fix there is whenever you are a collective and you sign a Nico, you sign into a 3-year collective deal that has a no compete call. That has a no compete clause. Both parties go into it. You may have to pay a little bit more for the players' NIL deal. You might have to give him 20, or you might have to give him $14 million instead of 8 for him to sign a no compete. But that says he can't go anywhere else and get an NIL deal for 3 years. You got to do it for all players. If you're going to sign to an NIL deal, you got to put them in a situation where they can't go make NIL money elsewhere for 3 years, or whatever the term may be that you both agree on, that we're committed to each other monetarily to do our advertising exclusively with each other. That's the fix, because that's something that both parties can actively go into together and agree upon in time.
How can you stop somebody from leaving?
Because the player and the let's say Spire sign a contract that says we only will do NIL. I'm only able to do NIL deals with you. I'm signing a deal that you're going to pay me $12 million for the next 3 years, and I'm saying I'm giving my advertising rights exclusively to you to govern. You're going to be the agency that I only advertise with. So I can't move to Columbus, Ohio, and sign with a different agency. I'll sign a no-compete clause because you're paying me enough and making it enough worthwhile my while to do. I mean, I have a non-compete clause at my company that I work for that says I can't go anywhere else and do the same job.
Yeah, I got that too. But I don't know if you can do that though, because if he could have, we would have seen more of that.
You can.
Okay. Here's my question, Russell. Real quick.
Collectives don't want to do it. Collectives don't want to guarantee you 3 years. That's the problem. Go ahead,
Bill. Well, and that technically doesn't tie somebody to a football program or basketball program, right? That's technically tying you to collective because Spire can work with any student athlete in the country, not just Tennessee student athlete. So technically that only ties the recruit or whoever to Spire, not Tennessee itself.
Here's the deal with that. Here's the quick fix on that. Spire's in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's where our agency is. That's where we do our advertising. You have to live here and meet these expectations of these appearances. You got to do all these things that's required of us to earn your money. And you're welcome to move to Columbus, Ohio, but at that point, we don't have to pay you for these appearances you're not showing up at. And you can't sign with the NIL collective there to make more money. So you're after that first year, when you move away, you're not going to be making any money at either place.
You can't do that. You can't legally, I guess.
You can legally.
But who's going to do that? Because
that's why I said
you got other teams who are like, hey, we're not going to do that with you. Here, we giving you the bag to play now. And
that's
so,
why you got to pay more. That's why you have to pay more money. That's why if you're Nico and you say, hey, we're going to give you eight, we're going to give you 12 to sign a no compete for 3 years.
But then the money dries up.
Yeah, money going to dry out, Rusty. I mean, how long can you do that? How many players?
How long can you pay Nico 8? If you can pay Nico 8, you can pay him 12.
I think that could apply to Nico. I don't know that it applies to an entire roster.
That's the most important player on campus is a quarterback at an SEC school.
My point is there are ways to get around the portal. It's just all these collectives are going to start figuring out a way to do it. And I mean, there have to be so many clauses in these contracts, but you can limit it somehow by making it more financially beneficial for the player to sign a longer term deal. But there's got to be something they can do where it's going to get worse, or they're going to make the players employees and they're an employee for 3 years.
Well,
that may be the next step.
Well, the next step, Rusty, and man, thank you so much for the call and holding on. Yeah, but the next step is, and Tennessee's already making steps towards this, is schools will have to pay the players. Like, that's where we're moving to. So,
and it'll most definitely feel like free agency.
Yeah, I mean, it already is. So,
but that, now it'll literally be a professional organization operating.
Yeah. Man. Hey, I'm cool with it. It was going to happen. At the end of the day, I just want my team to win. All right, let me get this text box here. Audrey C says, look at the team stats. Shaq's percentage of made shots is up there. He has to be allowed to shoot. I don't know if anybody telling him not to shoot. You know, if you open, you got to shoot it, period. And we saw it in the tournament. Teams sag off of players. We saw it in the national championship game. You can't be a player that teams sag off of. Real D from the 423 says, can we please get Ben an NIL deal with the Vol shop so he can stop wearing these Yankee hats? Yeah, it's baseball season. Ben's going to wear them Yankee hats.
Well, I wear my Yankee hats, whether it's baseball season
but you're
or
definitely
not.
Wear it now.
I do have – I have plenty of Tennessee hats. I just cannot wear them on
– No, Ben can't wear them no more, man. can't wear them no more. You know, he big time journalist now. He can't even do that.
I don't know about big time. I'm not signing any contract extensions like you.
Ben, you signed a contract with a major company before I did.
I didn't say I haven't signed a contract. I said I haven't signed an extension.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you got.
You didn't need to because the first one was good. We'll move on. Bo says, I understand wanting to go somewhere else to have more playing time, but it would absolutely break my heart to wave goodbye to Mayshak. Yeah, but I would understand.
Yes, I mean, and to me, that to sum it all up, the Jamai Mayshak conversation, I would hate for Tennessee's sake to see Jamai leave. And I think that Tennessee should do everything it can to make sure that Jamai Mayshak is at Tennessee next season. And to be frank, I know we spent a lot of time about Jamai today. Jamai is... The rumors aren't as swirling, I guess, or as hot as the Jonas Adu rumors. And Jamai's mom has quickly put that to bed yesterday.
I don't know if she put it to bed.
Well, to a certain extent.
She never said, we ain't leaving. It ain't true. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do look. I've said this. Jamai absolutely has a decision to make. There's no like that is absolute fact.
And I would too if I was him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Every and it's not a Jamai thing. It's a every player in college athletics has a decision to make every single offseason. I mean that's because of the lack of rules and transparency and things like that. Every college athlete has a decision to make every single offseason. So it's not just a Jamai thing. I just like with Tobe and potentially Jonas that's been in the works for quite some time now. Whereas I feel like Jamai has to make a tougher decision than maybe those other two have or need to make.
I got you. All right, let me get back to this text box.
But don't you think that Tennessee should do just about everything it can to keep Jamai?
Yeah, within reason.
Yeah, that's what I mean, everything that it can.
Yeah, within reason. Man, this is one of those days where like an hour and a half show is not enough. But let me just tell y'all about Mayshak, what type of dude he is. So, Josh and Swain, we had a remote at out in Maryville. And it was at Second Harvest Food Bank. Jamai had probably got taken care of through NIL. But Jamai was there with us. He was there calling people, trying to raise money to feed people in East Tennessee. We got athletes on campus and other campuses. They just taking the money. But are they really investing and being a part of the community that they live in? Are they really trying to make an impact? Jamai Mayshak has the whole time he's been here. He hasn't lost sight of what's important. And it would be a big blow if we lost Mayshak, Knoxville community. But I would understand if he decided to go. I don't know if a lot of people know that about Mayshak. If you don't listen to Josh and Swain, you probably don't know that. But that was a thing. That is a thing. But back to the text box. Nelson from Jackson says, did y'all hear Coach Caldwell's comment about singing Rocky Top? When did we start caring about coaches' ability to sing? Our fans can be extremely silly sometimes. Number one, I don't really give a damn about the press conference. We have seen coaches come in here, nail it, sound smart, sound excited. I remember Butch Jones made it seem like he had to pinch himself that he was a coach at Tennessee. I'm sorry. Stream did some funky stuff, so it's back on, so we should be getting you back. But I don't want a coach at Tennessee that needs to be pinched that they're the coach of Tennessee. I don't want that. I don't want you feeling like this job is too big for you day one. Like, I want you to be like, yeah, like, y'all lucky to have me. I'm him. I'm her. I'm about to wreck this. I'm qualified. Oh, I can't believe y'all picked me. Oh, So I don't really care about what someone says in an opening press conference. It's all new people. It's a whirlwind. Your life changes like this overnight. Like, you're moving your life from one city to another. Like, it's all fast. And so they're not going to say everything perfect. I don't think it has any indication that they're going to be a great coach or a bad coach. Who cares if she can sing Rocky Top on the first day? You know what I want you to do, Coach Caldwell? Recruit. Get in that portal. We can learn Rocky Top later. We got to get on these players. We got to get some talent. We got to get some players that want to, you know, play in your system and produce some results. All that other stuff, we'll learn Rocky Top later. Cool. We got plenty of time to learn Rocky Top. Big on Caravan is later this year. We got time. Recruits don't care about if you can sing Rocky Top or not. Go get some recruits. But yeah, you're right, Nelson. We be caring about silly stuff sometimes. Nila Mafia says, I don't understand the freak out. Nothing would do but kill the stability of the evil NCAA. Now there are no rules. Ain't y'all happy? What are you trying to say, Neil Mafia? That the NCAA is, we should take it or leave it with the NCAA? That the system wasn't flawed? That doesn't need adjustment? We knew that, and no one does a better job of painting a picture when he makes a point. How many times have Neil Mafia called in the West Virginia game, right before the West Virginia game, talked about the house? Neil Mafia, you know, sometimes to build a big house, a pretty house, you got to blow the thing up. You got to blow it up, and it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit. It's going to be a mess for a little bit. But to build it up the right way, you got to blow it up. And the NCAA right now is blown up. And unfortunately, there's chaos. There are no rules. But it's making people work hard together to do what's right moving forward. But until then, yo, it's chaos right now.
Well, and I think he's saying that he enjoys the chaos of no rules, and shouldn't we be happy that there are no rules?
Well, I'm not happy there's no rules, because what's happening is we got some athletes that get paid and they decide they don't want to play. When we start doing that, you healthy. What are we doing? Oh, you need to be 100% healthy to play? What are we doing? You get paid, get your money, cool. But like, you want to be a professional athlete? You think that's going to fly at the next level? I'm not happy with everything going on. I am happy that the athletes have more power and they have the ability to make money. I do appreciate that. Love that. Wasn't that the situation with Barron? Wanted more money. I mean, who doesn't want more money? But he wanted more money.
Nelson sent that message when we were talking about others paying attention to what others were making.
Oh yeah, well, that's how you know. But people talk too much. And it's not like you going around digging, finding what people are making. It's really easy. Just sit in the locker room and listen. I'm sure you can find out. Or in the training room. That's where all the gossiping and talk happens. Training room and locker room. All right. Men's basketball. We hired a basketball coach. I like the hire. Love her system. Can't wait to see how the roster is constructed here in Tennessee over the next couple months. Spring football. Orange and white game this weekend. Ben McKee, GoBalls 247. Jason Swain here with you. We will continue. We'll get to the Beatty Chevrolet text box. The orange and white game, Ben. We got to do some shopping, man. Got tailgate. Get ready for it. No? Okay. Be right back. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Save this month with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. From now until April the 30th. Around the corner, folks. Take advantage of big savings on home systems. HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, select new whole home generators. You can enjoy up to $1,500 off. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade, this is the right time for you. Visit the website happyhiller.com today for more details. Spring game. I remember a time when 50,000 people would pour into the Neyland Stadium, 65,000 people, and we would compete with other programs around the country for the biggest attendance. You bring recruits in town, and you would try to wow them with those big crowds. And that's just not the case anymore, Ben. Coaches around the country, whether they want to admit it publicly or not, they'd rather just line up and go practice. Just go practice than do the spring game. But here we are, 10,000 tickets for the good people, and we're going to give away a pair before we wrap up today's show. So if you want to go to the orange or white game, and you do do not have tickets. We were very, very fortunate that we had someone. I don't know if this person wants to be identified. So out of respect, I won't say anything. But we really, really appreciate her for sharing her tickets with the Swain Event family to allow someone that wants to go be able to go.
And tickets and a parking pass.
Tickets and a parking pass. So before we leave today, we're definitely going to do that. But as we approach the spring game, man, you got a lot of guys banged up. You got questions, certain positions. Last time we talked about football, it was about the running backs. Dallin Hayden is not going to be here. I do think the right situation pops up, may add a running back from the portal. And when the Oregon State running back hit the portal, I was like, because remember Tuesday, I was like, listen, if you don't have somebody out there that's better than Dallin Hayden and you don't get Dallin Hayden, it's not going to be a good look. And what do you know? 1,000-yard back, a really good player for Oregon State, just so happened to just fall into the portal. I was like, hey, look at Swain. Look at that. We got to play for Oregon State. I wonder what happened. Maybe there was some talk going on. That was my first thought. But then I saw a report from Pete Thamel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, I had to lean back. I was like, when did Pete Thamel start reporting figures of players that they're turning down at schools?
This is professional free agency.
This is the first time, Ben, I saw a report where, and I know that player did not give Pete Thamel that. We just gonna put his business on the street like that? That he turned down $400,000? Which to me is crazy, because last time I checked, he's no Derrick Henry. He's no Reggie Bush. He is no Ezekiel Elliott. last time I checked, $400,000.
Where can I sign up? Where can I submit my resume to Oregon State to be their running back for $400,000 this season?
I can't wait to pass block. I can't wait to run that dive play.
I can't wait to have CTE. Bring it here. $400,000 to help me feel better.
I'm good on that. I like to know what I put my keys. I'm good on that. Turned down $400,000. When I saw that, I was like, oh, no, we ain't paying him that.
That was my first reaction. I saw the 400 number. I said, well, nah, Tennessee ain't going after him.
We got a lot of money in some key places, returning guys and guys. We ain't paying $400,000 for no running back. No.
And that's not even as much money as somebody who wasn't playing on the basketball team was making.
Hey, man, whatever. So I'm expecting Tennessee to continue to explore the possibility of bringing somebody in from the portal at the running back position for the right number. That's what I'm expecting. Audrey C. says, NIL money is through our collective volunteer club, Spire is a nationwide marketing firm, two entirely separate situations. That's been established for sure, especially during the lawsuit. At first, Spire was handling everything, and then Vol Club was created to keep those two things separate. Very, very smart. So,
take that, Rusty.
Yeah. Nathaniel says, seen a lot of people worrying about Caldwell's frequent subbing and how that's going to make elite players not want to come here. I personally think people are blowing that out of proportion, but I'm curious on y'all's thoughts. Y'all see South Carolina play this past year? This past game? Y'all see them freshmen in there subbing in and out? They went 9 deep. You think those players who are all 5-star caliber players, think those players care? No, because they winning. If we're playing a style of play that, quite frankly, it matches AAU. Pressing all game long, that means more people can play. You can't press all day long and just play seven. You have to extend that bench. And I've heard that she will sub all five people at once, bringing another five that's fresh. That's putting the pressure on the opposing offenses. Marshall was one of the best defensive teams in the country, creating steals. What happens when you get tired? Your fundamentals suffer. You don't think as sharp. You make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, the other team capitalizes on those mistakes. We see it in football with Josh Heupel's up-tempo system. How many times in the last 3 years have we seen DBs, defensive backs, linebackers, any member of the defense, when the ball is snapped, not be ready? Not be ready. Not have a foot in the dirt. How many times have we heard opposing coaches say, all right, what's the key to stopping Tennessee's offense? It's being where our feet are when the ball is snapped. What that means is lining up properly. And when you get tired, you think more. You make mistakes. So Caldwell's system of pressing you, making it up and down, it forces you to get tired. And because you don't have 10 deep, you got to play folks more. They tired. They're going to make more mistakes, which is why Caldwell's defense gets all those steals. So let me know when Caldwell can't recruit really good players before making the assertion that a frequent subbing is going to make elite players not want to come here. Because, hell, they're going to South Carolina.
Yeah, and they played for the Tennessee men's team this past year. I think it's all circumstantial. It seems like with her system, given how much they press and how much energy they exert on each end of the floor, it seems like a requirement for her roster to be able to sub as much as she does.
I like
for exactly what you said, because when you get tired, your fundamentals leave and start playing poorly. I mean, stating the obvious there. So she's going to have to recruit some depth quick, fast, and in a hurry, because this roster does not have a lot at the moment. I do hope that fans are patient with her, particularly within this first season, because even if she is able to go land a big fish or two out of the portal, she's still not going to have the depth, I don't think, on the surface to be able to play the style that she wants to play and has been playing.
She'll have the depth. She'll have it if the NIL money is available for her to go out and get enough players from the portal. Yo, come here.
That means that she's going to have to bring in like 7 to 8 people.
Okay. We've seen other teams do it.
You think she's – I'm aware. You think she and the program are capable of – that much turnover?
Yeah.
I hope so, because they're going to need it, because right now they have barely anything. Not a ton.
Yeah, I think so. Dude, I was waiting for Coach Kyle's Arkansas press conference. I couldn't wait to hear him call the pig. Oh, this looks so awkward.
That was a circus is what that was.
Oh, it looks so awkward.
A press conference.
Looks so awkward. Him in that red looks so awkward. But my favorite quote for him was, I met with the team. There is no team. That's Caldwell. I bet with the team, there is no team. There's no team when you're a new coach coming in this era. You got to go build a team from scratch. And Danny White bringing her in, giving her the contract that she has, should come with a commitment. Yo, we're going to help you build this roster. We got funds. We're going to help you build this roster.
That's fair. Absolutely fair. I don't disagree that she can go fill out the roster, but filling out the roster doesn't guarantee success. It just guarantees that you have players to put out there on the floor. Because when you're bringing that many new people together for the first time, and this is part of being a coach, right? Bringing your team together. But we've had conversations about you just kind of don't ever know for sure what you're getting out of the portal. I mean, it could click and everybody could gel well together. You could also bring in a a bad apple that you don't realize that you're bringing in and spoil the rest of them. I mean, we saw that with Arkansas and Musselman this past season. I think I've shared the story a time or two of Dave Van Horn, Arkansas's baseball coach, speaking at the SEC baseball tournament last year, and him talking about the importance of building the foundation of your roster through the high school ranks, because when you rely on the portal so much, you don't, as much research as you can do and people you can talk to, when you're going through the portal and building your roster through the portal, you just never know 1,010% for sure what you're getting in somebody in terms of their personality, character, demeanor, what they're about. And you could bring in 4 to 5 people and you can put them in a room together and they may click. But you're also running the risk of putting those 4 or 5 people together and then not clicking whatsoever. You don't truly know what you're getting out of the portal until you get in the thick of it and into the fire. And that's an accomplished, established baseball coach saying that, who has won as much as anybody, and maybe not national championships, although Arkansas fans act differently than that. But that's a separate conversation for a separate day. So even if I agree that she should be able to fill out the roster, I still think there's going to need to be a level of patience required from fans this first season, because yes, it is your job as a coach to get your players to come together and play as one, but it's also a really, really difficult task to do so when you're going to have as many new faces as that program is going to have in this first season.
Yeah. I think I agree with you for the most part. I think there's a difference, though, between baseball that have way more players and football that have way more players. So it's harder to build your team from the portal. But in basketball, you go get 5 players from the portal or 6 players from the portal, you got a brand new team.
Yeah, but I would argue, though, that that makes it more dangerous to live in the portal, because if one of those 5 players that can plug and play right away is a sour apple, then your team's rotten at that point.
Right. What if the freshman is a sour apple?
What's that?
What if the freshman is a sour apple? I mean, you can get a sour apple
That's
portal in or from high school. That's your job as a coach to be able to see the warning signs and judge the character.
I agree. I said that. I absolutely said that. And now I feel like I'm willing to give some grace working through the portal, because things kind of go fast and I don't think you have as much time to do as much homework as you can on a high school kid. You're recruiting these high school players for years, a year and a half to 2 years. You have plenty of time to do your due diligence and make sure that you're not bringing in a sour apple. To whereas through the portal, things are flying quickly and you're trying to make quick decisions. It is possible that you could maybe bring something in that you don't realize that you're bringing in is a negative. So again, and I said it's your job as a coach to try to work with what you got. But it's going to be, all I'm saying is it's going to be a really difficult task. I think that you would agree with me on that. Like with all the new faces, it is going to be, even if it's your job as a coach, it's going to be a difficult task for her in this first season. And the moment she would to start to lose more games than the Lady Vols should, folks will jump on her and say, oh, this is why Danny White should not have hired somebody who was only at Marshall for one season, only coaching one season of D1 basketball. That's where I'm talking about needing to be some patience.
Man, we've been losing games we shouldn't have been losing for the last 7 years. So if you're going to jump on her the first moment she loses games she's not supposed to, that's just you basically confirming that you didn't like the hire at the beginning. I think it's easier in basketball to build a team quicker through the portal. I do think it's hard. I think it's hard. I just think it's easier in basketball. It's going to be hard for Coach Kyle, and Coach Kyle is the NBA one and done king, and he's going to have some time at Arkansas, but he's going to have players, and chemistry is always important. I think it's going to be easier for Kim because not only is it basketball, but it's women's basketball where there's less parity. There's less parity in basketball. It's not like in football or in baseball, in the SEC, there's so many great places you can go. So many great options you can go because everybody got money and, Florida's won championship. LSU's won championship. Auburn's won championship. Alabama, Georgia, like all these programs have won at a high level in football and in baseball. Whereas in SEC with the Lady game, there's LSU in South Carolina. It was Stanford. Don't know how that's going to continue. You got Notre Dame. You have UConn. You got Louisville. You got NC State. Like, you don't have a ton of big-time programs. So if you're Tennessee, like, yeah, we're the Lady Vols, and we're going to pay you. She should have some success, should, in the portal. But again, you still got to put the team together, still got to have the chemistry, still got to have the buy-in, the philosophy. All those things are no different than if you have been at a place 5, 10, 15 years. All that stuff's still important.
People are going to be expecting Lady Vol standard results, and I think that is going to be very, very difficult to achieve with all the attrition this offseason. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I just think any coach in year number one to expect Lady Vol standard is a little unfair.
Well, it is, but you know that's what people expect. You know this. You deal with fans on a daily basis.
I understand that. But it's time to stop being ignorant.
Well, that's the point of the points that I brought up.
Well, Nick Saban didn't win in year number one. Kirby Smart didn't win big in year number one. Like, what coach won big like that in year number one the moment they stepped on campus? So if people are expecting that, then that's them choosing to be stupid. Because there's plenty of opportunities to look at other examples of great coaches that did not win in year number one. So why we expect Kim Caldwell to do the same thing? I think she'll be successful. But I'm not expecting her to restore the Lady Vol brand in year one and go out there and get to the Final Four. I'm not expecting that year one. All right, Brad says, Swain, what are your thoughts when Caldwell put John Adams in a body bag? I thought the question was good, honestly, from John Adams. It's a question that I wanted to be asked a whole lot sooner. She was successful at Glenville State, successful at Marshall. The hire confused some people because she lacks the experience at this level. She has a unique style. Josh Heupel was asked the same question about his style being able to be successful on a bigger stage versus better competition. Josh Heupel's asked the same question. So I thought it was a fair question, and I love her answer. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it would. Cool. I love it. It was a very confident answer. Maybe John Adams could have worded it differently. Hey, what are you going to do to make sure that, or what does it take to make sure that what you did at Marshall and Glenville State carries over to Tennessee as far as your system? But to ask her a question, to allow her to say, yeah, I don't think I would be here if I didn't think it was going to carry over and be successful. That's why you got the answer you got. But I have no problem with John Adams' question. I think people don't like John Adams because of all his years of needling Tennessee football. And anything he says or writes, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And I understand that. But I had no problem with his question Tuesday. No problem. Ben, baseball this weekend versus LSU. Pitching continues to be something to monitor as we move forward through the SEC season. What can we expect Saturday, man, versus LSU?
Only Saturday? What about Friday and Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. My bad. Weekend series. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. What can we expect from
a lot of offense? I think there's going to be a lot of offense in this series this weekend, especially on Saturday and Sunday. The weather's supposed to heat up. This storm coming through, I believe the temps won't get above 60, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday. And then after Saturday's going to be a perfect day. It looks like, according to my phone, which the weather app on the phone can be a little hit or miss at times, but my phone says on Friday, high of 62 and cloudy. Saturday, nothing but sunshine and a high of 72. So it'll be a good day to have a spring game and a big time baseball matchup at 5:30 following the spring game. But I expect a lot of offense. I think both teams are trying to figure out a lot of answers to questions on the pitching side of things. Luke Holman, he's going to be a tough one to deal with. The LSU transfer from Alabama, or I should say the Alabama transfer who committed to LSU over Tennessee and Mississippi State, despite his party communicating things to Tennessee that did not end up being true. So I think that Tennessee would love to win the Luke Holman Bowl on Friday night, but that's going to be a tall task. Big hard throwing lefty that has a lot of nice stuff. So Friday night will be difficult, but after that, LSU's facing some questions like Tennessee is on the mound. I do anticipate Tennessee making a change on the mound Friday night. I think Chris Stamos or maybe even an Aaron Combs could get the ball to start things out. Maybe give AJ Causey a new look after his previous two starts that did not go his way. So I'm expecting a lot of offense and possibly a new look pitching. I don't even want to call it staff, but a new order on the mound maybe this weekend as the Tony and Franks of the world try to reshuffle the deck for Tennessee's pitching staff and try to find some answers for the questions that they continue to face. But it'll be a fun series. I'm really excited. This is the first time since opening weekend that I have truly gotten excited for a weekend of baseball, partly because the NCAA tournament had been going on, and then last weekend they were at Auburn. But this, with the brands, is a big-time matchup, and I think that this is going to be the first time where we truly get to see and feel the atmosphere of a newly renovated Lindsey Nelson Stadium, at least the renovations that have been done up until this point. The crowds have been terrific all season long, but I'm expecting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to be absolutely jam-packed from every seat will be filled. I think there's going to be a lot of standing room only people as well. I think it's going to be a really, really fun environment. So I'm looking forward to it, and should be a fun day on Saturday for Tennessee fans, those who are able to get a hold of some of those 10,000 tickets that were distributed. And there's some other events going on campus leading up to the baseball game as well. And as I mentioned, it'll be a beautiful day in terms of the weather. So it'll be fun and it'll be exciting.
All right, before we wrap up today's show, man, let's give out some orange and white tickets. First caller to 865-255-03 if you're looking to go to the orange and white game. Give us a call and let us know who you are looking forward to the most seeing in the orange and white game. Really simple, no crazy, tough trivia question. We just want to bless somebody that may not have had the opportunity to go to the game because of the limited amount of tickets, but 865-255-03 is a telephone number. Give us a call. Let us know which player you are the most interested in watching during the orange and white game. Why do you want to go? Who you want to check out? Again, 865-255-03, first phone caller that can do that. Tickets are yours. All I would need is your email address. And transfer those tickets straight to you. Again, 865-255-03. And let's get to the line. We have a caller, and see who we have. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, who we speaking with today?
This is Chad, also 44 Vol on the text line.
All right. Chad, the tickets are all yours, my man.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Let us know. Who you looking forward to seeing with the orange or white?
Well, probably about like everybody else, Nico. I know that's probably the popular answer with 99% of the fan base, but him, Dylan Sampson, Even probably, I don't know, is Keelan Peely going to play at all, you think?
He should be healthy out there. He's okay. Missed enough time. He needs to be out there.
Okay, I was just checking. I didn't know if they were going to limit him in this or anything like that.
Yeah, so. Sometimes you just never know, man. You get there, man, dude, there's games where you don't know about a guy not playing. So they're not going to necessarily broadcast it, but there's some cases where guys are held out because they've done enough. So I don't know who's going to be held out, but I haven't heard anything about Keelan Peely not going.
I think it would be beneficial for him to play. It's a double-edged sword because you don't want him to get hurt again, but he hasn't played much football the last couple of years because of injury, so he could use the reps, especially under a new linebackers coach. So I'll be curious to see how they juggle that situation because he needs the reps, but you don't want him to get hurt. To me, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you got to play. Dude's got to play. It's a contact sport. He had a freak injury. He's healed. Yo, he got to go. But you got to protect Nico now. But if you healthy, you got to play.
Okay.
My opinion.
Which is, man, I can't thank you guys enough for this. This is awesome.
Well, do this for me, please, man, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Stay on the line.
Sure.
I want to get your information. It's two tickets, and it is a parking pass. So just be thinking of someone you want to take with you, maybe someone that's been getting on your nerves, that you want to rub it in their face, that you was going to take them, but now you ain't. Make them feel bad. Whatever you want to do, man, you can. They're your tickets. So just hold the line for us, and then I'll get with you right after the show and get your information, and we'll make sure you're all set for the orange and white game. All right?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Stay right there, Chad. Ben McKee, my man. Thanks. Thanks for the time, man. I'll be seeing you this weekend. I have some dead end for you this weekend.
Absolutely. Appreciate you putting up with me this week. It's been a fun week of Tennessee sports talk, and I'm sure they'll give us plenty more to talk about this weekend.
Always content. Never a dull moment on Rocky Top. Keep eyes on the portal. Multiple sports. See what happens. Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Peace and much love. We are out.